Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I want to say that today's episode is brought to you by the support of our listeners. And I want to send special thanks along to Martha, Michael, and Jeffrey, who have supported the show. And thank you for your support. We'll send access to our premium site, along with the designated extras. And we'll share a little bit about our listeners after the program. But I do want to go ahead and get into today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, as we continue on with the Clinton matter, parts 3 and 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
This is Florrie Hawkins, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, yes. You are the principal of the school.
I'd like to talk to you if I could.
All right.
Would you care to meet me for a cocktail? There's a place called the Trader's Inn not far out of town. I could be there in an hour.
All right. Miss Hawkins.
Yes, Mr. Dollar.
What changed your mind about talking to me?
Well, I've heard how you've gone about this. I mean, you forced Sheriff Daugherty to let you in to see Roy Vickery. You defied Chief Hanley and, well, you don't seem frightened of any of them. Also, I suppose I'm a little sick of everything I've seen around here.
Okay.
I'll see you in an hour.
I'll be there.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the United Adjustment Bureau, 418 West 61st Street, New York City. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the racket in Clinton, Colorado. Expense account item 9, $10, one dinner and four drinks for myself at the Trader's Inn, 5 miles outside of Clinton, where I waited for Florrie Hawkins to appear.
I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh, well, that's all right, Miss Hawkins. Sit down, please. Would you like something to eat? A drink, maybe?
No, thank you.
What's the matter? What is it?
Oh, I can't help looking around. I hope no one sees us together. I mean, that would be difficult to explain.
To explain to whom?
Your friend, Sheriff Daugherty, for one.
Oh.
Last night when you came to inquire about Julian Osborne, Sheriff Daugherty called and told me to get rid of you and not answer any questions.
Yeah, I guess that. Did he tell you what would have happened if I had stayed and you had answered some questions?
No. I can imagine it would have been something that would have barred me from teaching for the rest of my life. That sounds incredible.
No, not too. I've been looking at your little town, Miss Hawkins. A school building can be made of paper, go up in smoke, a man can be killed, and none of the responsible people, the man who built the building, the fire chief, the sheriff, seem to care too much.
You asked me about Julian Osborne. I knew he wrote your insurance company, or called them, and told them the school building wasn't right. He told me he was going to do it.
I see.
I knew it wasn't right, too. Everyone who worked in there, who worked on the building, knew it wasn't up to specifications.
Then I'll contact some of those people.
Well, that may be difficult. Julian Osborne spoke up, and he burned to death.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can't speak now, or any of the others.
I'm willing to speak about that building now. Now I'm willing to help you. I don't know about the others. Will Mr. Baines help you?
Well, he's frightened of going up against Vickery and the others. But I think I can talk him into it.
That would be two of us.
Yeah, that's right. Two people speaking out. And then there'd be others. Once it gets rolling, it won't stop. Unless I've missed my guess about the townspeople of Clinton.
You seem to know a lot about people, Mr. Dollar. How to say what will stimulate them at the right time or make them speak out. I have to confess you did that to me. You looked hurt and bewildered last night when I insisted you leave me alone. I realize, you know, very deeply, I realize there could have been 1,400 pupils in that school when the fire broke out. I didn't sleep last night thinking of it.
Yeah, I guess that was the only good feature of it. No children died. But as you say, Miss Hawkins, it could have happened the other way. Now look, besides yourself and possibly Mr. Baines, can you think of anyone else who might be able to supply information about the construction of the school?
I don't know. Let me think.
Somebody who'd have evidence in hand, possibly.
Wait. Yes, I can think of someone.
Who?
The building inspector, the one who approved the building.
Oh, well, that doesn't seem likely. If he passed that building, he must have been in with them. What's his name?
His name is Richard Hobb. Oh, I've known him for years. Oh, he is in with them in a way, but I know he'd get out of it if he could. He was a very decent man when I knew him well. I think he's still decent.
Richard Hobb. All right, who else?
That's all I can think of.
Well, that's a start.
What will you do?
I'll ask you to take a plane to Denver, register at the Cosmopolitan Hotel, and wait until you hear from me.
What?
I want a statement from you before you go, but I want you to be safe. I'll get around to Hobb and Baines. All I want are sworn statements to the effect that Vickery built a bad school, that he violated insurance specifications. That'll start it rolling.
Oh, when do you want the statement?
Tonight, right here.
All right. Let's get busy.
It took an hour to get the statement. After that, I drove her to Grand Junction to catch a plane. Expense account item 10, $1.50, telegram, to a friend of mine in the private detective business in Denver. I asked him to meet Florrie Hawkins' plane, see that she was safe and comfortable, and keep an eye on her during her stay in Denver. Then I drove back to Clinton. Item 11, 10 cents, another phone call, this one to David Baines.
Yeah, Dollar?
Baines, Florrie Hawkins made a statement about the school building and the fire. She's tired of being scared and shoved around. Now, how about you?
You want a statement from me?
Yes, comparing your specifications with what you saw that actually went into the building. Will you make it out and take it before a notary?
All right. If she can, I can. Then what?
Then go down to Denver and wait till you hear from me.
I'll make the statement, but I won't leave town.
You'll help me a lot if you do.
Sorry.
You'll be in danger here.
I feel brave. If you're going to play it so broad, I'll do it too.
I took his statement directly to the post office and mailed it to myself at the Northern Hotel. Expense account item 12, 40 cents, phone calls. I telephoned Sheriff Doherty, Fire Chief Hanley, and County Attorney Contractor Roy Vickery and told them that I had a sworn statement regarding building irregularities. Sheriff Doherty snorted and hung up. Chief Hanley yawned and told me not to bother him. And Roy Vickery just laughed. About 8 o'clock that night, I was at the home of Building Inspector Richard Hobb, a nice home in a nice part of town. The woman standing in the doorway was tall and blonde, holding a drink and smoking a cigarette.
Yes?
I'd like to see Mr. Richard Hobb. I'm Johnny Dollar.
I'm Lucille Hobb. He isn't home right now. But you can come in and wait for him and talk to me. I'm not bad company. Would a drink help?
Help what?
Whatever's wrong with you. You look tired, Mr. Dollar.
It might, but I'd rather not. I just came by to talk to your husband.
You said that. What do you want to talk to him about?
Business?
This time of night? Let's stop talking about him. What do you say?
Look, you probably missed your dinner tonight, and you've been getting all of your nourishment out of a bottle, so I'll come back
You're
later.
You're afraid Dick will walk in.
No, I'm not afraid of that, Mrs. Hobb. He's already walked out, and you're feeling sorry for yourself.
What?
Well, a man, if he lives in a place, has an ashtray or a picture or yesterday's sports section lying around the front room. I don't see anything like that in this room. If I walked over to that closet 10 to 1, I wouldn't find any of his clothes. And if I tried the drawers, I'll lay odds there wouldn't be a shirt around either. When did he leave?
You're crazy.
When did he leave?
Yesterday.
After the fire?
During the fire.
Where did he go?
I don't know.
Did he go alone?
I don't know.
Did Vickery tell him to get out of town?
No.
I'll ask that again. Did Vickery tell your husband to get out of town?
I don't know.
You said no the first time I asked. Vickery, a pal of your husband's?
They know each other, naturally.
Look, Mrs. Hobb, I don't know how much you've had to drink, but if I'm reading your eyes right, you're scared. You're scared about what's happened here and what could happen here. And you know your husband's involved. Mrs. Hobb, I want your husband to help me. If he helps me, I can help this town get rid of people like Vickery and Doherty and Hanley. If you see him, if he contacts you, tell him that. Tell him I won't let anything happen to him. Tell him I have statements from two people already, and they're being protected. I'll protect your husband. You got all that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Good night, Mrs. Hobb. I left her standing in the middle of the living room, drink in hand, staring vacantly at I don't know what. Outside in the crisp mountain air, I took stock of the situation. Richard Hobb, building inspector, who had passed the school building, would be the most important witness I could find to make a statement. The others, from Florrie Hawkins and David Baines, would help. But Hobb's information would be essential to an investigation. I was just coming into my rented car when a sleek dark limousine pulled up, and Roy Vickery leaned out the window.
Come here.
Why not?
Pretty cold weather to be out so late at night.
Yeah, but then I've got a lot to do.
You've been in to see Mr. Hobb?
Yeah.
How's Richard these days?
I wouldn't know. I only spoke to Mrs. Hobb.
I see. Lovely girl, isn't she?
Well, she's a little sad right now. Her husband's missing. He left town during the fire yesterday.
Do tell.
Yeah, I have a feeling he might have been ordered out of town. Sooner or later, people would be asking the building inspector embarrassing questions about their school.
Uh-huh. Were you going to ask him some embarrassing questions, that is?
Yeah, sure I was. I was going to ask him why he passed it. I was going to ask him how much he was paid to pass it. I was going to ask who paid him to pass it. And then I was going to ask him to make a statement.
I figured you might have had something like that in mind, yes.
Well, it's been nice talking to you, Mr. Vickery. I hope I see you real soon in jail.
Hey, Dollar.
What?
I know you're trying to earn your money and you're working very hard. But I'd stop it if I were you. I admire a man like you, someone who calls a spade a spade.
Or a liar a liar.
Or a liar a liar. But, Dollar, it just won't do you any good here in Clinton.
Tell you what, you worry about your problems and I'll worry about mine.
Have it your way.
Ready with your call to New York, Mr. Dollar.
Right.
Go ahead, please.
Hi, Johnny.
Hello, Al. Hey, look, Al, it's a mess here. I've made a little headway. I mean, I'll have a couple of statements coming in, but no concrete evidence yet.
Well, what do you think?
The school building was a fix or something or other. Money somewhere. I haven't been able to find out. The town's sewed up tight, civically and politically. I can't expect any help from the law or the fire department here. They're in it, too.
Oh, that kind of thing, huh?
Afraid so. I need help.
We'll be there in 24 hours. If they want to play it that way, we'll play it that way.
20 minutes after I hung up the phone and was in bed, I found out how much of a mess it really was. That's when my hotel door opened and a man lurched across the room toward me.
Dollar, I've got to tell you, I wanted to get to you yesterday.
He stood in front of me, swaying back and forth, his hands clutching the front of his coat. He fell before I could get to him. Three bullet holes formed a neat trio across where his tie pin should have been. I ran my fingers through his coat, pulled out his wallet. The license read, Richard Hobb, age 39, occupation, building inspector. Johnny Dollar.
Al Davis, Johnny. We're on our way.
What?
Yeah, we're in Grand Junction now. We ought to be in Clinton in 3 hours, renting a couple of cars. I brought help.
I can use it, Al. There's been a murder here.
What?
Last night, a building inspector named Richard Hobb staggered into my room, tried to tell me something, but died before he could get it out. He'd been shot 3 times.
Now, look, you be careful. Don't do anything until we get there. That's an order.
Yes, sir. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. to the United Adjustment Bureau, 418 West 61st Street, New York City. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Clinton matter. Expense account item 13, 60 cents breakfast. I had it sent up to my room. Right behind the bellhop appeared the tall figure of Sheriff Daugherty.
How about inviting me for a cup of coffee?
Sure. Sit down. Help yourself, Sheriff.
Thank you. You know, you're a mighty lucky man.
In what way?
I was almost holding you for murder, boy. That hob fella.
Oh, that, yeah. You're looking into it, I suppose.
Yep, we're looking into it.
I hesitate to ask, but are you getting anywhere?
We figure he was shot sometime last night. Found his car downstairs all smeared up. Might have driven in from someplace.
Where?
We don't know.
Well, do you know he blew town when the school fire broke out?
We talked to Mrs. Hobb.
I talked to her myself.
Yeah. Naturally, we want to find out everything we can about this matter. Now, Hobb came up here last night and died in this room of gunshots. Why do you suppose he came here?
I never knew the man, Sheriff. I talked to someone who did know him once. She said he'd been a pretty decent man at one time. If you and Chief Hanley and Vickery didn't tell him to leave town when that fire broke out, he might have told me himself. His conscience might have hurt him about passing a building that never could have stood an inspection.
Go on.
He might have heard that I was in town investigating it. He might have gotten sick and tired of the cheap, rotten little schemes here in Clinton and come back to help me straighten it out.
You don't think much of our town, do you?
Not the way it is, Sheriff. And I don't think much of you.
In that case, I'll just try to keep out of your way.
Do that.
You do the same, Dollar. Here.
Two hours later, Al Davies and a contingent of special operatives arrived in Clinton. Toby O'Brien from Continental States Insurance. Rob Schwartz and the Minx Twins from Columbia Adjustment, giving us a friendly hand. Todd Weaver, who just finished a case with the Canadian Adjusters Limited. Lou Doniger and Thad Thomas from Chicago. A pretty imposing group of expert investigators.
Well, Johnny, you look okay.
Yeah, still in one piece. Hiya, Thad, Lou.
You want to get the door, Toby?
Oh, sit down there, John.
Now, this isn't any vacation trip, boys. We're all going to have to roll up our sleeves. All right, Johnny, you want to break it down?
Yeah, all right. Well, this is a big one, fellas. If you'll all sit, I'll bring you up to date.
Yeah, sure.
No, sit right there. 3 days ago, I came here on a tip that building irregularities were suspected in the new school building. The man who tipped the insurance company was the janitor, name of Julian Osborne. I never talked to Osborne because he died in the fire that destroyed that building. I did talk to the man who designed the building. His name is David Baines. He claims none of his specifications were followed in the construction. So that's why it caught fire and went down so fast. His statement right here. Now, I talked to the school principal, Florrie Hawkins. She supports Baines' statement. I wanted most of all to get a statement from the building inspector who passed the building, Richard Hobb. Hobb was murdered last night.
No wonder you need help.
All right, now, the sheriff, the fire chief, and the building contractor are all in on it. And there are too many leads for one man to follow, too many people for one man to talk to. The sheriff is making an investigation of Hobb's murder, but we'd better make our own. Now, you, Toby, and you, Thad, Hobb's your job. Find out everything about him, his bank account, his friends, his troubles, everything. Especially who killed him. His widow's Lucille Hobb. I met her last night.
Leave it to him to find the woman.
Okay, now. Rob?
Yeah?
Your man is the building contractor, Roy Vickery. He's big and tough and shrewd, and he talks softly. He owns and runs the whole show, if I'm guessing right. Now, take Toby and run Vickery down. Bank accounts, purchase orders, what kind of money he spends, and so on. Jim and Al Minx?
Yeah.
All right, you two, find out everything you can about Julian Osborne, the janitor who was burned to death. I want Lou Doniger to stick close to Fire Chief Hanley. Same thing. Everything and anything you can get on him. Al, you can handle Sheriff Daugherty. The rest of you spread out. Start talking with anybody in town who might know anything. When you find one who's sick and tired of watching their town being run by a pack of hooligans, send them up here to the room. We'll try to get statements from them making specific charges, Al.
Yeah.
I want to guarantee every one of them security. So take them down to Denver, give them protection until it's safe to walk the streets here.
If that's necessary, I'll arrange it.
It's necessary. All right, now report back to me anytime you want. Don't push anybody around. Don't let anybody push you around. Okay, let's get to work.
Thank you.
Eight strange men moving through Clinton, Colorado, asking questions were as conspicuous as I wanted them to be. I knew everybody in the little town would be hearing about them and watching them. And sooner or later, I hoped that would pay off. An hour went by before I got any action. Johnny Dollar.
You the fellow with the insurance company?
Yeah, that's right. Who's this?
Never mind. You're taking a lot of chances around here.
We're going to take lots more. Do you have anything to say?
Yeah. My name's Earl Kennedy. I'd like to talk to you.
Name the place.
You go down and stand in front of your hotel. I'll drive by and pick you up.
I went down and stood in front of the Northern Hotel. 5 minutes passed. 10 minutes. And then a car drove up. 2 men in the front seat, 3 in the back. One of them leaned out.
Dollar?
Yeah.
Come on, get in.
Better turn here, Earl. Head out toward Conifer.
Yeah. Oh, I'm Merle Kennedy, construction foreman on the school.
Hi. I thought you were going to be alone.
Man next to you is Frank Ibsen.
I'm the city editor of the Clinton Times.
Those 3 boys in the back are Chuck Borden, Pete Geiger, and John Newton. They all worked for me on the construction.
Hi.
Hi.
We seen the guys you brought into town.
Really?
Some pretty heavy boys. You know, the town's a little edgy with all that's happened. A fire, the janitor getting burned, murder of Dick Hobb.
None of which were caused by any of my investigators.
How long are they going to be in town?
As long as they have to be. We're going to get to the bottom of all this.
How many did you bring in?
8. I'll bring in 80 if I have to.
Aren't you talking kind of big?
This is a big job.
Yeah. This far enough?
Turn in here.
Now what?
Just want to talk to you. Well?
Yeah. We're all willing to make statements, Dollar. I can charge Vickery with shortchanging the city on materials. These guys in the back seat will tell you the same thing.
They came to me to ask my advice. I told them to talk to you, see what kind of man you were. I'll print anything that's the truth.
Well, that'd help a lot, Mr. Ibsen.
The paper's at your disposal, provided it's the truth.
Fair enough. All of you be willing to testify?
I am.
Okay. Now, a couple of other things. First, about Richard Hobb.
You tell him, Frank.
Hobb had big ideas. He played ball with Vickery and the rest of them.
It also looks like he was murdered because he was going to try to make it right. Now, about Roy Vickery.
He was born here in Clinton, brought up here. He's built about 1/3 of the structures in this town. Every one of them standing today. Every one except the school.
Any angle on that?
Your insurance. $200,000.
Okay. Where can I get a copy of the actual purchase orders used in the building?
From Vickery. But I don't think he'd let you have them, if he still got them.
Well, he gave me specifications that look like forgeries. I want the real thing. I'll have to have the real thing.
Well, let me look around. Now, when and where do we make the statements?
Let's go over to my hotel room and do it right now.
Better use the newspaper office. You're probably being watched by now, Mr. Dollar.
Expense account item 14, $10, legal fees. 2 hours later, I hired a notary to attest the sworn statements of Earl Kennedy, Frank Ibsen, Charles Borden, Peter Geiger, and John Newton. They were damaging statements that would bear considerable weight in a courtroom, but they were not enough to bring the matter before a court. Al Davies was waiting for me when I got back to my hotel room.
Hi.
Hi.
Come here.
What is it?
We've got friends.
Yeah. 7.
Mm-hmm. They've been gathering around the hotel now for the last hour or two.
Any of the boys run into trouble yet?
No, none they couldn't handle. This could be ticklish, though, Johnny.
Huh?
Well, if Doe's down there provoked an open showdown.
Yeah, that might be the idea. We aren't ready for anything like that yet.
We're getting there.
Come in. Well, hello, Sheriff. This is Mr. Davies, our chief inspector.
Davies! Are you the man who brought these troublemakers into town?
I brought 8 assistants with me, Sheriff.
They're troublemakers. They've been going around asking questions, upsetting folks, getting in the way. I'd hate to see any of them get hurt.
Like with those out there on the street?
Those men out there are a group of indignant citizens who came to see me in a body and protested this investigation and the way it's being handled.
They look more like hired bully boys, Sheriff.
I'm asking you and Mr. Davies to withdraw these men you have working in Clinton. I'm asking you to do that by sundown.
Suppose we don't, Sheriff.
Then you'll take the consequences.
Now, wait a minute.
What?
I don't want to keep you in a state of suspense, Sheriff. We're willing to take the consequences.
What?
If that crew out there shoot as well as they look, they're pretty rough people to go up against. Let me tell you, every man in this investigation is armed. We won't be intimidated, shoved around, or bullied by you, those bums out there, or anyone in this town. Now, you tell that to Mr. Vickery and Chief Hanley. And then you go home and stand in front of a mirror, Sheriff, and tell it to yourself. You gave us till sundown to get out. I'm giving you until sundown to resign as sheriff. Now, if you don't do that, I'll see that you're forced out of office. Now, what do you think of that?
You must feel mighty strong to talk like that.
See this, and this, 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 and this? These are all sworn statements from people in this town who aren't afraid of you and Vickery and the others. You'd be surprised how many other people around here are on the verge of making statements, on the verge of not being scared of you anymore. So where are we, Sheriff?
I'm going to kill you.
Not now, you aren't. Go on, get out of here.
I'll kill you, Dollar.
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final exciting episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, the end and the beginning of Clinton, Colorado. It all happens when the smoke clears. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, I love this, how the insurance investigators have descended upon the town of Clinton like avenging angels. You almost have a feeling of this as almost one of those old westerns where we're coming in for the big confrontation, the showdown. Build up, and I'm just loving the way this story is going. Just some fantastic turns in the Johnny Dollar stories. People find the courage, led by Johnny Dollar, to confront the corruption in their town. And I'm sure we're in for a great conclusion on Friday. So be sure and listen then for part five of the Clinton matter. Well, we do have some listener comments and feedback, and we'll go ahead and get into this. Randy Story on Facebook says, "Love that Dollar guy." Tara comments, "I love your Great Detectives podcast. I've been listening for years. I load up several episodes onto my iPod and clean my house. Sometimes I'll finish my cleaning before the episodes are over, and so I'll go looking for something else to clean. So thank you for helping me keep a clean house. Also, keep it up, because I still have a house and three kids who mess it up daily. Well, thanks so much, Tara, and we'll definitely keep bringing you the program as long as we can. Martha, who supports the show, writes, thank you for your shows. I live in Hong Kong, and the podcasts bring a little bit of the States here. And also just a comment from Jim, who says, great job. Well, thanks so much for all your support. It's truly appreciated. We'll be back on Wednesday with part five of the Clinton matter. And join us tomorrow as we bring you the adventures of Nick Carter. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.